We read from Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul speaking with the authority of the Lord Christ in this sunlit summit of the Word of God, gives to us in verse 18 these words, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." We would take this passage here this morning, this great statement of how we are the children of God, and yes, really we are heirs with Christ, and read verse 19 also, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed." And I do believe we have before us one of those great statements that there is a provision in this inheritance that we have, this inheritance of sharing in His suffering, that this inheritance comes to us by sharing in His suffering. And the only road to this glory is a road of suffering with Christ in this present life. Verse 17, we also read, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." I believe we have here in just a few words how we are to deal with our present sufferings. Here, the Apostle Paul in verse 18 gives us this reality of our present sufferings. And I would ask you this morning, is there anything that is so needed, so practical, no matter what your age or where you are in life, you need to know how to deal with our present sufferings? There's all kinds of confusion and chaos in this world that we live in, whether you're a 3 or 4 years old or you're up in your 80s or 90s. There is the reality of our present sufferings that are all about us, that are so very real. How can we be more than conquerors with these present sufferings that come to us? This is not a message on how to avoid all your sufferings in this present age. This is not a sermon on how to be healthy, wealthy, and a superstar. Somehow or another, how can you really make it and put it all together and avoid all suffering? That message of avoiding it all is not found in Romans chapter 8 nor any place else in the Apostle Paul. There was a reality of his own sufferings, just as we heard at the very beginning of our worship together. There was that being crushed down, that being in the very life of the Apostle Paul, times where he didn't know where his next meal was coming from. He was battling in the open sea to keep his head above water. There were real struggles and suffering in his life. Here we have before us a message with the authority of the Lord Christ, how to really deal with our own present sufferings. And I don't think there's anything more important for us this morning than to have an understanding as Christians. And only as Christians can we understand how to deal with our troubles, trials, and tribulations that are part of everyday life. Again, we're not here this morning that you would have some kind of escape passage away from these difficulties. Paul uses something here that I think is very important. As he begins, he's not just in a literary sense in verse 18 saying, "I consider, I have an opinion, here is what I'm thinking about a bit here this day." He deals with the sufferings by saying, "I consider." And this isn't just some personal opinion, but he's dealing here with that which has to do with reasoning based upon God's great salvation. By having faith in Christ, we have this peace with God. By being in Christ, we have all the blessings in Christ. The word in the original, logizomai, has to do with logic, of reason. Yes, based though here upon what God's great salvation is. So we come to our present sufferings and to have a time to deliberate, to, yes, calculate how we are to deal with these things, devising a plan. It's a word that has a background of logic. It is, as one of the great old lexicon says, it is reason in its concrete form as worked out in action. Paul says, I consider, and we have a plan. We deal with these things. It's not to be merely according to our momentary feelings or somehow or another aimlessly going along in life dealing with the problems. He says, I consider, and I'm impelled to action with real consideration. I ask you this morning, how are you dealing with your trials, tribulations? How are you dealing with those things in your life? Are you merely going about life as a victim? This came upon me. Why, Lord? Why me? Are you almost to the place to saying, I know God's children suffer, but boy, I wish He could choose someone else for this suffering? Are you there in some kind of fatalistic kind of thing that it's whatever will be, and I'm just in this trap? Or are you there thinking that you're in such a struggle that there's nothing you can really do but be depressed and overwhelmed by these things? Maybe even thinking, well, I became a Christian so I wouldn't deal with any more problems in life. I could take care of my problems. I could escape from them all. If I just believe on Jesus, it'll all be nice, good, healthy, wealthy, and that superstar place maybe even. We read in God's Word that all this is really thinking as a child. And we're to leave that off. We're to come with a reasoned plan based on the great facts of the gospel, of what Christ has done, who He is, how He is in our life. There is to be a commitment to action. We are to follow this pattern that the Apostle Paul has given to us. So I would like for you to, first of all, look with me at the reality and consider that as a Christian, there is suffering and glory that are always together for the Christian. There's an order. We have the suffering in this life, and there will be the glory that will come later. The two really are joined together. You don't have the one without the other. They're joined together. The pattern is from Christ, His suffering, and then the glories that would follow. But there is that reality of suffering that is real in this life. My sufferings? Peter speaks to us and says, don't think it's strange that these things come to you. These are things that God, yes, has a purpose for in your life and in mine. Strange to suffer? No. These things go together. We must do away with that myth that for Christians to suffer, it is not God's will. That's not biblical. Christians do suffer. And sometimes in the suffering, there is the beauty of Christ seen. Some of the most godly Christians of the world have been those who have suffered the most. C.S. Lewis, as I note there in your bulletin, gives the real question when he says, the real problem is not why some pious, humble, believing people suffer, but why some do not. Christians are those who do go through suffering in this life. Consider this when you deal with your sufferings, your present sufferings. You can't have glory without the sufferings. And then secondly, I would ask you to realize and consider that for the Christian, there's a great contrast between our present sufferings and the coming glory. That's what Paul is emphasizing here. What are our present sufferings? We spoke a few moments ago in saying to everyone here as we had prayer, if we had all the different people really tell, what are your sufferings? What are your sufferings? What are your heartaches? What are those tribulations? And I believe here, certainly, there are those trials that are endured as part of our confession of Christ. There's a reality of persecution, the thousands upon thousands that have been burned at the stake, those who have suffered for Christ's cause. But I believe it also includes all the sufferings that's part of this present reality of creation itself groaning. The body groaning, the disease that we deal with, those things that we just put nice letters on, MS or MD or whatever they may be, those things that are very real, that they come after us. Our body groaning, the suffering that is here spoken of includes not only the opposition of the world, but also all our human frailty as well. And it's as a result of the fall, it's all about us. There are those groanings that creation itself undergoes. All the sufferings of your life and all the sufferings of this whole age is as nothing compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. The sufferings are as a small dust would be on a balance, and God is the heavy weight. God's glory, He is the one who is heavy. He is the one who is glorious. The sufferings of now, painful, yes, but they are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Evaluate them in terms of their weight compared with God, the heavy weight of His glory. How do we deal with these things? We, yes, see them as but small, light, as compared with His glory that will be revealed. The magnificence of God's revealed glory will surpass all the unpleasantness of our present suffering. Whatever that may be, God's glory will far outweigh that. That revealed glory that God will make known in us and to us. Sometimes, isn't it true that we need to see His glory through our tears if we're really to see the beauty, the rainbow of God's glory in these things? God gives to us some of the most difficult moments that we would know that coming day, His glory revealed will far outweigh whatever we have gone through. Tears are a part of our present suffering that cause us to look to His glory, look to Him and see His glory. The incomparable glory is coming, and God will wipe away all our tears. God is the one who is all glorious. So there's this great contrast that we need to make and see that whatever that suffering that we may be going through, our present sufferings are as nothing in comparison to the glory that is coming. And then notice here in verse 19, that for the Christian, there is an expectation that is shared or experienced with all of creation. Verse 19, when that emphasis is given, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And there is that beginning here of understanding how there is this eager longing, this great expectation of what God is going to reveal. Suffering comes to all families. There are brain tumors, cancer, there's wayward children, there are accidents, leukemia comes, there are even murders and strokes, divorces, and 1,000 other present sufferings. What do we do? As we read through this passage, we deal with these things by seeing the sovereignty of God, that He has these things designed, that they do go together. It is part of His will in our lives that He is directing and working all these things together for our good, for the good of those who love Him, and for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. They are together here in the Christian's life. And we do make that great comparison with our sufferings and the glory that will come. Our reason plan of action is to take these things and sit down with them and realize He is Lord. Yes, and He will reveal His glory, and it'll far outweigh whatever sufferings we may have. And then there is that great expectation we're longing for. It's here before us as a word that has to do with one sticking out the neck, straining to see one who is coming on tiptoes, that expectation of one coming. I believe it's J.B. Phillips that has in his old paraphrase that it's creation standing on its tiptoes, waiting, waiting, eager expectation. And we, with all of creation, we stretch our head out looking for that glorious moment. It gives us here that mental picture. It makes us a people who are waiting with the great expectation of that glorious day. It gives us a feeling and an experience of waiting with longing for that day. In the first few years of my life, it seems that our family, we were hit with a ton of suffering that just seemed to invade our whole house. Right after I was born, my mother had a stroke that left her paralyzed, so she couldn't walk for some time, and to this day, 60 plus years later, she's still paralyzed on her right side and with difficulties. Almost within just a short time after that, my grandfather suffered a horrible accident at Reynolds Aluminum Plant in West Phoenix, left his head crushed and disfigured, and all that he went through being disabled and with the pain just to eat and all the things that were part of being disfigured and the pain that was every day. I can remember growing up with the pain that he went through every day. It was just excruciating. His head having been crushed with 18 major fractures in his skull, it left him with tremendous difficulties and disablement. There was also a 3-year-old boy that was isolated for some 3 months plus because of polio. There were all these things of divorce and deaths and things that just seemed to invade the house beyond understanding, really. How do you deal with suffering? And we come back again. Without God's sovereignty, without the reality of God being the one who's sovereign over our lives, how can we possibly deal with these things? How can we be those who are more than conquerors when suffering invades our house? How is it possible? without realizing there's a glory that is coming that far outweighs all these things. We are to be a people who live with our necks outstretched, on our tiptoes, waiting with expectation to see the glory of God, standing on our tiptoes mentally, the coming resurrection, the liberation of the sons of God is a glorious day that we expect and hope for and have confidence in, so that even now we are more than conquerors through Christ and what He's done on our behalf. That's how we deal with our present sufferings. We are those who have this great expectation, and this gives us a way to deal with whatever those sufferings may be in our lives. Just day before yesterday, we spent part of an afternoon up in Prescott with a dear lady. She has bone cancer. Leg has broken 2 or 3 times because of the bone cancer in her bed. What joy just to spend time with her and see the glory of Christ there, dealing with her sufferings. How? She knows God has her very life, all that she is, in His hand. She knows that the glory that's coming far outweighs all the sufferings. She knows that she can live each day with great expectation. She knows that God is working all things together for the good of those who are, yes, called according to His purpose, those who love Him. All things are being worked together, that we, even now, can be more than conquerors. This dealing with our present suffering is unique. Only Christians can deal with their sufferings in this way. Only those who are here this day who know Him and who are in Christ can deal with their sufferings and have the great expectation of His glory that is coming. God will wipe away all the disease, the cancer. He'll wipe away all the disfigurement. He'll wipe away all your tears, and that is a great expectation that we can trust right now, even with our present sufferings, in His almighty power to wipe away all our tears. Let us trust Him. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank You that as we bow before You, we can truly, in all our sufferings, rejoice and sing and give thanks that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. We pray, O Lord, that You would cause all of us this day to consider, to reason with Your plan, with Your word, with Your truth, and deal with our present sufferings according to Your sovereignty, according to Your almighty grace in our lives, that we would know and have a great expectancy, a great longing for that glory, that liberation, that wonderful revelation of Your glory in and to us as Christ comes again in power. We ask all these things in His name, that You would bless us as a people and cause us to be knit together in love, working, functioning, living together as Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.